You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Countdown to kickoff. Although, you know what? You know, let's be real here, man. We got the Denver Broncos and the Indianapolis Colts on the board this evening. I can't lie. This is as little as excited as I've been for an NFL football game all year long in one of these primetime games. And that's saying something because there's been a lot of bad ones. Doesn't mean I won't be watching it. Doesn't mean I won't be betting on it. But we'll have our eye on the NBA, the NHL, college basketball as well. I mentioned we got a full house here. Ted Savransky is going to join us. Paul Bovey steps up and in. Joe Lisi. So we're talking football, baby. We're talking NFL football, bowl football. And, yeah, no arena football, no Canadian football. So college football, bowl football, and NFL football. But seriously, like, is anybody excited for this game tonight? I didn't think Denver Bronco fans are excited. Maybe, kind of. Like, really? Yeah, today's the day that Trevor Siemian shows us something. No, if he plays well, man, today, you know, he'll be the quarterback next year. It's brutal. We'll see what our experts have to say about this. We'll see what Teddy's take on this game is, Paul Bovey's take on this game. But there are a couple of other NFL games that are really good on Sunday, and I've got some picks for them. I like the card this week, guys. I think we're going to be able to hit it. We've been doing very well in the National Football League over the last month or so in a super contest. We're on a 15-5 run over the last 4 weeks. Too little, too late, man. I'm thinking to myself, dear God, dude, if we just could have did this, like started this hot thing a couple of weeks ago, a couple of weeks before we did, it started about a month ago. Like I said, we're on a 15-5 run in the Vegas super contest on Team Sports Rage right now, but I think we're sort of like the Green Bay Packers. Like, yeah, you're getting hot now, but, you know, you got a lot of teams you got to catch. That's sort of our deal, but doesn't mean that I can't try to make some money on the way out here. And speaking of making money, congratulations to Ricky Sanders. Ricky Sanders, good guy, big fan of his, nice guy, regular guest on our show. Joins us, you know, every 2 weeks or so. And I saw last night Ricky freaking killed it, man. Ricky hit big last night in the NBA over at FanDuel, I believe it was. He won like three different pools upwards. I think he won about $90,000. I think he won about $90,000 last night. $700 into $82,000, the exact numbers. Very, you know, he won $70,000 in one of them, but it was a $180 entry. Because I always wonder, I'm like, it's kind of, it depresses me a little bit. I'm not going to lie, and I'm happy for Ricky. You know, good guy. I'm happy that he won. But I don't even come close to this stuff. Like, I can't even win, like, you know, $800, man. Like, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. Like, are they that just much better than us? like, I've been doing this for a few years now. It's like I don't know nothing what I'm doing. Like, I do more fantasy than I actually talk about. You know what I mean? I figure, listen, you got Dinkmeyer and you got all these guys here. What am I going to tell you? So, but, you know, when I saw it, I'm like, son of a bitch, man. Like, how come it's not me? I'm like, how come I? But the point is, though, and I was speaking to Benny about this. Benny Ricciardi, he wins big, too, with this stuff. And you got to be ballsy. You know, putting in a $3 tournament, you're not going to win the $70,000, right? You know, if you got balls, you put $200 in, you have a good lineup, you can make money. But I'm fired up for DFS this week. Ricky's inspired me. I'm like, come on, man. On the way out, I got to hit something here. I got to hit something. You know, one of these nights, I got to hit something. I'm already starting to dig into my lineup, actually. So, yeah, congratulations to Ricky Sanders. Good guy. Props to Ricky. Joe Lisi's a good guy. We're going to talk some college football bowls with Joe Lisi, but let's get right down to business right now. The Major League Baseball winter meetings have been pretty active, as they always are, but really, has there been anything game-changing other than Giancarlo Stanton going to the New York Yankees? And I don't even know. Did that happen at the winter meetings or right before? Does it really matter either way? Either way, I'll tell you what. The New York Yankees aren't screwing around, man. All right? You know, they went for the last 2 years, the Yankees took the route of, all right, we're not going to spend crazy money. Let's get some young players. There's not really a lot of guys that we want to spend big money on that are out there that are worth it. And after this year, the 2019, it sounds crazy to say this, but I guess technically it would be 2019, right? Because of next year's free agency. We're going to be into 2018 in a couple of weeks. God, it sounds nuts, man. I remember actually, like, you know, used to, like, kidding when I was younger. I don't know if we'll make it to 2000, man. Like, honestly. Like, I remember being a teenager around, like, my buddies, one of those, you know what, year 2000, you think we'll be here in the future? It's like, wow, here and moving in on, what, I wonder what I'll make it to. 2050 would be pretty cool. Can I get to 2050? That's 32 more years. Oh, yeah, I could. I could. yeah, why not? I used to be very, very pessimistic about that. Every time I'm in Vegas, I'm all wasted during the Super Bowls. Every year, it's the same thing. Like, I have one mini breakdown during a Super Bowl because it's like 4 days of like a bender or something. And then it just hits me. I'm watching the Super Bowl, and they're like, you know, this is Super Bowl 51. And I start thinking, wow, how many more Super Bowls am I really going to see? And then I'm like, wow, I won't be here for Super Bowl 100. Will I be here for Super Bowl 90? Then I start panicking, and I'm like, holy crap, man, I'm only going to be alive for another 20 years or so. I'm like, I once actually made Cam cry. We were in the middle of the Super Bowl. I looked over at him. I said, bro, man. I said, you know, the way we live, even if we're lucky, we'll probably get another 25 Super Bowls, maybe. Maybe. So I said, you know, after this, maybe 23 Super Bowls. He sort of looks at me, and I just see a tear going down his eye. Because I never thought of it like that. I've always said life is like a football game. And I'll tell you what, I'm in the fourth quarter right now, and I'm down by 21 points. All right. So, the New York Yankees. How do we start talking about death? I don't know. It's always around the corner. Oh, yeah, that's why. Because I was going to state the Yankees aren't screwing around. I remember how the Yankees used to have Murderer's Row. This isn't Murderer's Row. This is Serial Killer Row, man. All right? This is John Wayne Gacy. This is Charles Manson type of stuff. Major League Baseball pitchers are going to be having freaking nightmares, all right? Nightmares thinking, oh, dear God, I got to pitch against these guys tomorrow. It's going to be like players that used to know they had to fight Bob Probert the night before. But I'm getting a little bit sick and tired of seeing people online complain about the Yankees. And I will admit, it's not as rampant as I thought it would be, but it's still out there a little bit that everybody else should just give up. You know, it's unfair. New York Yankees this, Yankees that, evil empire. And the fact of the matter is, yes, New York City is the biggest market in America. It's the biggest market in Major League Baseball. But who cares? How much is it really that much bigger than Los Angeles? No. Is it really that much bigger than Chicago? No. Yeah, technically, there's a couple of more people that live there. All right, big deal. As far as revenues are concerned and stuff, it's not like the Yankees make way more money than the Dodgers do. It's not like they make way more money than the Cubs do. And the fact of the matter is, the Yankees aren't even, not even close to being the richest team. That's what's insane about this. Now, the Yankees are a rich team, but the Steinbrenners aren't filthy rich. You know, what do they have? A couple of racehorses and a cardboard box factory, I think, and a moving company. Yeah, they were rich. Steinbrenner paid $5 million for the Yankees when he bought them in the early 70s. You know, Steinbrenner said, you know, I tried not, you know, and they asked George Steinbrenner, they said, well, you spend so much money on players, why? You know, it's crazy. And he goes, you know, I tried being cheap, and I was cheap, and the stadium was empty. And he goes, I started getting good players, and more people started to come, and I actually started to make more money. It's not rocket science. So the New York Yankees get it. And, you know, Hal Steinbrenner, the young Steinbrenners, they didn't seem to get that at first. Now they're starting to get it. You know, you've seen a ton of empty seats at Yankee Stadium over the years and the expensive seats. You're not going to see that this year, man. You know, every seat's going to be freaking full. The Yankees are going to be hyped. The Yankees are back right now. But if you're in your market right now thinking, oh, it's unfair. No, it's not unfair. The only thing that's unfair is your owner is a greedy bastard. That's the only thing that's unfair. Look at the Minnesota Twins. Minnesota Twins aren't like a high market big team, are they? No. But they could be if they wanted to be. The owner of the and damn good job by McCormick. I don't even know the guy's name. I'm just going generic here. The owner, we got a picture of the guy. There he is. Can we get him again? He looks like a rich guy, doesn't he? He looks like a rich guy that says, look, I'm filthy rich, but I'm not trying to be a jerk because look at it. Look at the shirt I'm wearing. Like he's trying to be like, you know, I'm casual and stuff like that. Yeah, you see, you know, that man there, whatever the hell his name is, he owns the Twins. He's like the richest guy in America, essentially. He's one of the richest men in the world. I didn't know this until a couple of years ago. Yeah, the guy that owns the Twins, filthy rich. Like, it wouldn't matter to him. Like, he could sign anybody he wanted, and it would be no big deal. He chooses not to. You know, you want to talk about rich? How about the Toronto Blue Jays? Toronto Blue Jays are owned by Rogers, one of the biggest corporations in the freaking world. I think they were the sixth or seventh most profitable corporation in the world last year, all right? There's 35 million Canadians. 18 million Canadians pay a bill to Rogers. They're a small market team, though. Right? Yeah, you're a small market team. You know, yeah, you own the cable grid, you own the internet, you own the team, you own the phones, you own the players, you own the employees to talk about the players. But I know, little old us, right? You know, but I'm going to tell you what, and I used to bitch about this. I'm not even a Toronto Blue Jay fan. I'm a Dodger fan. My team spends money. But if I was a Blue Jay fan, I'd be disgusted. I went to a Blue Jay game. I brought like $140 with me. I was out of money by the fifth inning, and I wasn't even drunk, okay? It was freaking frustrating. And I remember bitching about the Jays at the time, saying it's ridiculous that they don't want to give David Price the money. And I heard a story from behind the scenes that Alex Anthopoulos, who got let go because he spent too much money, Alex Anthopoulos went into Rogers, and, you know, it's a big conglomerate and a publicly traded company. So he had to go, and he went in the board of governors in the room, and he told him, listen, I'm going to offer David Price $200 million. And he goes, it might go up to like 218 or something like that. You know, it's going to go up. And someone in Rogers, who owns the Blue Jays, looked at him and told him, listen, we're not doing this. And quite frankly, I'd rather spend $218 million on fiber optic cables and R&D and build a new tower that we need for our phone structure. And you know what? What are you going to get more bang for your buck back? Giving David Price $250 million so he can choke in another playoff game and finish 11-9 in the regular season? Or by building another fiber optic tower so you can gouge customers with your crap-ass products? Yeah, it's a pretty simple choice, isn't it? You know, the bottom line is the players win, the owners win, and even in small markets, they all make so much money off the TV contracts and everything else. Everybody wins except the fans in about 26 of the 30 markets. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's get right down to business. I went a little long with my opening rant, which seems to be happening on a daily basis since I'm sitting down. Like I said before, I was standing up, and I'm old, man. I'm like Krusty the Clown. Keep the monologue short because my feet hurt. But now I sit here. I can just run my mouth. I could do the whole show as an intro if you wanted, actually. I really could do it. I could go 47-minute intro if you want. We'll try to do it, actually. All right, but we're not going to do it today because we've got some great guests. Paul Povey's going to join us. Joe Lisi steps up and in, but Ted Savransky bats a leadoff from Las Vegas, Nevada. You can find his picks over at sportsmemo.com. He's one of the cover's experts, and you can watch his great videos on a daily basis over at SBR Picks YouTube page. It says sportsbookreview.com's YouTube channel, SportsBit. Ted Savransky, what up, Teddy?
Renzi, what's a good word, my friend?
Well, you know what? It's unfortunate we have to do it, but we can do it quick and get it out of the way. It's like, hopefully quick and painless. Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts, Thursday night football tonight. Dear God. This is pretty much as bad as it gets, Teddy.
Oh, no, it gets worse. You know, I mean, Broncos, Colts, at least they're marquee names.
Yeah.
You know, Browns, Niners would be worse.
Yeah, but but the Browns and the Niners aren't playing tonight. So, yeah, we've got to deal with this. Yeah, it could always be worse. Sort of like the Cowboys and the Raiders. That's what people are like, oh, God, the Sunday Nighters terrible. I'm like, well, it's a brand name. You know, it'll do all right in the ratings. But, you know, Ted, I don't even give a crap about whether a game is sexy or not or whether it's flashy or not. There's a lot of ugly games that I love that I'm betting on the game. But even in this game, I can't sit here and make a legitimate argument for either team. Can you? Do you want to?
Oh, yeah. I can make a strong case for Denver in this ballgame. And most of it's anti-Indy. but, and of course, it's a Broncos team, mind you, that hasn't won a game or covered a point spread on the road this year. So if you take a Denver, there's a leap of faith to be made there with the Broncos. And, of course, that leap of faith being that Indy's worse. But from a situational standpoint, when you have two bad teams in December, some situations you want the team that looked bad last week and against the team that won a game finally and snapped their losing streak and now the pressure's off and they go, and Denver doesn't show for the Thursday night game. But the mitigating circumstances of the fact that the Colts, they didn't just play a game. They didn't just play an overtime game. They didn't just play an overtime game in the snow. You saw the field, Gabe. That wasn't that. That was running through 7 inches of snow, 8 inches of snow on the field. These guys are gassed. Pagano's comments were like there wasn't a guy in the locker room that wasn't completely gassed after that game. You know, Frank Gore had 36 carries. Now they're playing on a short week off an overtime loss.
Yeah.
After playing in the snow. I can't imagine a scenario. I can't. Of course, things happen, but I cannot envision a scenario in which the Colts come with energy tonight. I think they're going to be flat.
It's a good point that you raise. You're the first one. That's why you're Ted Savransky. But very good point that you raise about the snow. Nobody brings it up. Yeah, all right, they played the Colts. So a lot of people are thinking, so what? How's that affect them next week? And I'll tell you what. It snowed for the first time the other day here, okay, in Toronto. There's been a couple of times it was flurries, but it always melted, right? It was the first time that it stayed. And just by luck, and of course my chance, I happened to be in downtown in rush hour. And there's no point of getting in a taxi, Teddy. It's like Toronto's like New York City. You're not moving. You know what I mean? So what's the point? I might as well walk. I swear to God, Teddy, it's funny you bring this up. Yesterday I woke up and I'm like, oh my God, like why do my legs hurt so much? You know why? Because it's tougher to walk in the snow, man. I was flexing. I was trying not to slip. I was stepping through snow. It's completely different. You know, and the exact thing, when I woke up, Teddy, I was like, man, I feel like I went skiing yesterday or something. Like, you know, the back of my legs were all like stretched. I was like, man, I was like, what happened? I was like, I walk every day. I fly around. I'm like, man, no, it's the snow. Because like, you have to flex your calves and like grip in. You're exactly right. Imagine for football players, Teddy. Those guys' legs want to fall off after.
And remember, Gabe, it wasn't an inch or two. You know, I don't know how much it snowed in Toronto, but that was like 7, 8, 9 inches of snow on the field.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference between something you can step in your foot and
get
over
it. It's like running in sand. If people don't understand, run on the sand, run on grass, and run on concrete. Notice the differences. You know what I mean?
Here's a quote from Chuck Pagano. Quote, how do you feel after running in 7, 8, 9 inches of snow down after down? It was a challenge getting on the field and off the field for us coaches, let alone the players. It was like running on the beach in quicksand. Yeah. Their legs were dead. The quote from Jacoby Brissett on Monday. It was his 25th birthday on Monday. Quote, I feel a lot older than 25 today. Short week off an overtime loss. That's not what I understand. Ugh. Okay, there's no travel. But I worry about Indy's fatigue level today. I think it's going to be very, very high.
To mention the injuries as well. Nate Hairston, Rashad Melvin, both out starting cornerbacks. Of course, they cut Vontae Davis for some stupid reason. Malik Hooker is already out. Linebacker John Simon's going to be out with a shoulder injury. It's unbelievable. Henry Anderson went on injured inward reserve. Like it's one after another with the injuries. You raise a very good point here. As far as the total is concerned, any opinion?
Under.
Under.
I mean, look, Denver pitched a shutout last week. And the defense that was great early in the season, that fell apart, finally played another great game. And all the quotes after that is, hey, we're re-energized. We're going to come out the stretch and play good. Here's Indy. They have no legs. You know, Jacoby Brissett, the highest sack percentage in the NFL this season by a wide margin. So if he's taking more sacks on dropbacks than any other QB, I don't anticipate Indy marching up and down the field. And yet Denver, you know, they got the shutout last week. They still gained 4.0 yards per play. It's not an offense that's going to suddenly come unglued or get on some kind of a, you know, fast track. And the quotes from Denver, the coaching staff, about how they planned on approaching this game was all, let's not make mistakes. We're going to try to avoid turnovers. We're going to have a conservative game plan. Lean under for sure in this one.
You know, and Teddy, there's a big difference if you're Vance Joseph. You go 4-12, you're fired. You go 7-9, you know what I mean? Maybe you can dance through this. And you know, there is a difference. I can see where you're going. I've been up in the air with this game. I hate this game. You know, I hate it. Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at props. You know what I mean? I'm looking at props. You know what my prop bet is? I got a prop here, Teddy. Under 60.
You better be betting. Got something under.
Yeah, 65.5 pass attempts under.
Sure. What about sacks? Get that sack percentage over.
Yeah, it's 5.5. I don't like that. When it's a 4.5, I jump. 5.5, I can't. Because now I need 6. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple other props I got, but yeah, this is a tough game.
I know you got long field goal.
Yeah, it's up to 46.5.
But it's what you do.
Yeah, it starts at 44.5 earlier in the year. They get tired of getting beat. You know what's interesting, though? Here's an angle. The Colts aren't playing for anything. Adam Vinatieri, been a good teammate for the Colts, been a good guy. Pagano's a bad coach, but he's a player's guy. They like him. And Vinatieri missed a field goal in the snow last week, all right?
Yep.
And it really screwed with his overall, his percentage. He's got a $500,000 bonus in his contract if he can get to a certain number with his percentages. So long story short, he needs to go 5-for-5 in the remainder of the season. I could see Pagano trying to get these kicks for him. You know, it wouldn't shock me to screw Irsay over here. And you know, Irsay's the type of guy that's going to be like sitting in a booth thinking, I'm going to fire ass Pagano if you let him kick this fifth field goal. So
for guys, you know, for again, for the owners, $500,000 is, you know, they'll blow that on dinner. You
know, I know.
They'll blow that at the craft table on their way to dinner.
Yeah, or on hookers. Exactly.
It's not an enormous sum for a gazillionaire, like, you know.
Yeah, but these are the same guys that want to pay the cheerleaders $50 a game.
Yeah, then you say, how do they get so rich?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, rich people. It's one thing, I've been around a lot of rich guys, Teddy. It's the common theme. Rich people never seem to like paying other people. That's the common theme with rich people. Like, that's, you know. And then, like, you're kind of a punk if you know. They just look at you like, well, if you accept this, I would never accept that. So if you accept it, you know, that's your fault. You know, that's the way rich people look at things. All right, so enough of this game, but you sold me, Teddy. $2,000 on the Broncos. I'm in.
Double up.
Yeah, I'm all in. All right, here's a football game. Didn't understand the point spread in this one, Teddy. Don't know why the Chargers opened up as 2-point favorites. Been bet down to a pick on my seat at -1 right now, back up to the Chargers. -1, yeah. Yeah, they're on a little bit of a streak right now. They beat Nate Peterman. Nate, you know, for some reason, McDermott starts Nate Peterman. They caught the Dallas Cowboys right after Elliott got suspended again. They didn't have Tyron Smith. They didn't have Sean Lee. That was like rock bottom time, Thanksgiving era for the Cowboys. You know, they beat the Browns. They don't cover against the Browns. They beat the Redskins. Long story short, the Chargers haven't played a real football team in like 6 or 7 weeks.
More than that. I got it right here. These are the Chargers' 7 wins, okay? They beat the Giants. They beat the Raiders when the Raiders were tanking. They beat the Broncos when the Broncos were tanking. They beat the Bills in the mother of all bad spots for Buffalo. They beat the Cowboys when the Cowboys were tanking. They beat the Browns, and they beat the Redskins last week when Washington didn't have
quit.
A healthy player on the roster.
Yeah, and then Washington have quit, you know, for a couple of weeks. Yeah,
a game that was over at halftime. So I'm with you on L.A. kind of being a little bit of an overvalued commodity at this time. But I'm not looking at Kansas City's win last week and saying that means anything. I don't think it means anything. I think that was a rate. It was the Raiders. If you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. The Raiders stunk. I mean, they were rough.
But can we agree? Can we agree that since the play call changing, since Reed's given up the play calling duties, I mean, the offense was sharp against the Jets. And then last week, once again, you know, 26 points put up on the board. You know, you've got to admit the Chiefs' offense seems to be coming alive, but that defense still has major holes.
Yeah, and look, the Chargers defensively have been really good against the pass. They've got elite cornerbacks. You know, the Bosa Ingram pass rush duo is dynamite. And their numbers against the pass are really good. Against the run, they're not so good. And Kareem Hunt got going last week for the first time, you know, since what, like week 4, he got in the end zone. Or week 3, he got in the end zone.
First touchdown since week 3, yep.
Yeah, and the first 100-yard game since week 4, I think it was. So, in my mind, that's the handicap. If Kareem Hunt is moving the ball on the ground against the Chargers, Kansas City is going to win. Yeah. If the Chargers can effectively sell out to stuff that Chiefs running game, it's an L.A. L.A.'s been the better team for 2 months. even though we haven't seen it in terms of signature wins for the Chargers. They have been the better of these two teams, and you know, that's an eye test, that's a stat test, that's on everything. Even though the Chiefs, you know, stopped the bleeding last week, I'm not convinced that Kansas City's fixed.
All right. If you go over to Covers Experts and you go to Teddy's individual page, you'll find his NFL rankings. He does weekly rankings. I enjoy reading the rankings, Teddy, and the little tidbits that come with them, including with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers defense has fallen apart since Joe Hayden got hurt back in late October, allowing 20-plus yard completions more than any other team in the league. Now, Hayden is set to return here. It's just been sheer dominance, though. I mean, the Patriots have beaten the Steelers 3 years in a row. They played the last 3 years. They've beaten them all three times, including in that AFC Conference Championship game. They've actually beaten them four straight times, but the last 3 years, and they've beaten them 8 out of the last 10 times. Like, you know, Tomlin's 2-6 against them. Cowher used to lose to these guys before that. It's like Brady just owns Big Ben in the same way that the Steelers own the Bengals. What do you make of this one?
Well, Brady owns everybody, you know. I mean, it's not unique to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know what, though? People used to
say the second best team in the AFC.
Yeah, but at least
every year, Brady owned the Colts.
Yeah, but not as much. At least Peyton used to, you know what I mean? This is even more dominant. Like, they have no chance against these guys ever. I mean, they're 2-8 in the last 10 games. Gronkowski returns. Shazier obviously out. Schuster's back in. You know, Hayden is a big difference maker here. Patriots coming off a loss. What do you make of this game?
Well, this much I know. The markets are going to knee-jerk towards New England off of every loss. You can go back years, and they've knee-jerked towards the Patriots. So we've already seen New England money. I anticipate more New England money as Patriots off a loss. It's money in the bank. From a spot perspective, I want no part of New England this week. Understand, you know, we talked about the Broncos or the Colts and the scheduling situation that is not fully factored into the point spread. This is what the Patriots have done. They went and played in Denver, and they stayed out in Denver for a week, and then played in Mexico City. Then they returned home for one quick game, and they traveled to Buffalo, played in the cold, then they traveled to Miami, played in the humidity, and now fifth road game in a six-week span, third in a row, on a short week, traveling with the number one seed on the line. No, I don't trust the Patriots here. I think they're gassed. They looked gassed on Monday. And I'm sure they'll come with better energy and maybe a better game plan this time around. With Gronk back in, it's a better New England team, obviously, than without him. But it's a Steelers spot, and I'm going to wait till I find a 3.5. I haven't seen him yet. I'm going to find a plus 3.5 with Pittsburgh, and I'm confident that I will get involved at that number. I lean over in this ballgame. You know, we talked about the Joe Hayden, you know, and Hayden may be back this week, but that Steelers defense has proven to be vulnerable. So it's the Patriots defense, you know. And Pittsburgh offensively, an offense that sputtered for most of the season, let's be real. That offense didn't get going in September. It didn't get going in October. It's a rhythm offense. We've seen that many times from recent years. Well, they're in rhythm right now. So I'm definitely leaning over and definitely leaning Steelers in this one.
All right, Teddy, unfortunately we've got about 1 minute left here. Bowl season set to begin. I enjoy Teddy's done breakdowns, quick little breakdowns of pretty much every game, videos. Just check him out on his Twitter account over at Teddy Covers. So we can't ask you about all the bowl games, but any early bowl tips and quick take off Boise State, Oregon. I've been debating this game with people throughout the week. I think the Ducks smoke them with Justin Herbert back.
I think the Ducks might smoke them too. And in terms of bowl tips, look, don't be stupid, okay? Bowl season, the entirety of bowl season has fewer games than a single normal college football Saturday. Bet accordingly, you know? And for God's sakes, you know, I learned this lesson the hard way, and it was a good lesson to learn, but it was brutal. And that is, don't you dare frickin' chase during bowl season, because you'll end up spending, you know, it can get ugly.
Yeah, you're right. You know, have the games you like and bet the games you like. Yeah, you're right. Have the games you like circled, but don't go, oh, crap, Louisiana Tech just screwed me. I don't really love this, but, yeah, 2,000 on Western Kentucky.
Sure,
yeah,
let's get it back on this one. Let's get it back on that one. And then it all, you know, you don't want that. from experience, you don't want that. In terms of the Las Vegas Bowl, Oregon, Boise, I think Boise stinks. I think Boise has stunk all year. I think they've been stinks is not a right appropriate word. I think Boise wasn't very good this year.
We're on the same page, Teddy. I said worst 10-win team in the country. That's how I did it.
I would have no argument with that assessment.
That's how I did it.
And I'm with you conceptually on the Ducks with Herbert and with Cristobal, who is apparently a very popular hire in that locker room. I'm confident Oregon comes to play. Boise might give him a game when all said and done. I could only take the Ducks. That's the bottom line. I can only lay it.
Quick cheat sheet on the way out, guys. Justin Herbert played in 7 games this year. They averaged 52.1 points per game, highest in college football. The 5 games he didn't play, they averaged 15 points. I don't think Boise State are going to be able to keep up. Teddy, it's always a pleasure, my man. You want to win, guys, check out Teddy over Covers Experts, sportsmemo.com, sportsbookreview.com. Check out his daily videos, all kinds of free picks and free advice. Always a pleasure, Teddy.
Cheers.
Ted Savransky, great stuff with Teddy. All right, we'll take a quick break. Paul Povey joins us next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's bring Paul Bovey in right now from Los Angeles, California. Let's hit the Bronco-Colt game quickly. I look forward to Paul's take on both the Los Angeles-based teams. I actually think they're both going to lose, but we'll get to that momentarily. Paul Bovey, you can find his plays over at VegasInsider.com. Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Gabe. I'm just trying to get comfortable here, and then I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's happen.
All right, so, you know, listen, the casual fan not too excited about tonight's football game. You know, as bettors, it doesn't matter whether it's a glamorous game or not. If we really like a side, you know, Ted Savransky just made a pretty strong argument for the Denver Broncos, actually, and it was more so a play against the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, you look at the Colts injury list right now, both cornerbacks are going to be out tonight. Nate Hairston's out. Rashad Melvin's out.
Don't tell me what Teddy said, because it's gonna make me look like I'm copying Teddy.
Okay,
which he does. He purposely sits after me so he can steal my, you know, the thunder that I already spit out.
Cam Stewart does this to me all the time. Like I put like hours into these notes, and then Cam just, hey, can I get the notes? And he starts reading these things off. I'm like, yeah, you know who's famous for that? Brent Musburger. Used to, like, really piss people off, I guess. Brent would, like, steal people's notes on the set and throw them out there. And he'd say, oh, I was just, you know, just messing with you and stuff. But I know you're just messing with Teddy. So what, you're thinking the same thing about an anti-Colt play here?
Well, I already played the Denver Bronco team total over because of the injuries, because they have shut down both their cornerbacks. And, you know, I've mentioned Vontae Davis several times earlier in the year because he's their top corner, and then you have Melvin's out, and they were not exposed last week. Obviously, you had blizzard-like conditions in the tundra of Buffalo, but the week before, Blake Bortles did expose that secondary, 30-10 win, and it was pretty much easy pickings. He was 74% completion percentage, which was tops for the year for the Jacksonville quarterback. So should be back to business here. So the only question is, can Trevor Siemian get the ball to his wideouts, who are very good in Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders? And, the answer to the question is probably. At 224 passing yards, I'm also a play to the high side there.
You know what? You guys have sold me. You've sold me. So, you know, the total 40.5, you like the Broncos team total over. What about the game itself in a 40.5?
I got to go with...
Or 41 now, whatever it is.
All right. The number was sub-21, which makes it a lot more appealing to me than going over because, the game could end up 23-17 and you're screwed. So I'd rather go with the 20.5 and hope that it's not a 17-0 game and they take their foot off the gas, because at 20.5, you really don't have to worry about that scenario.
All right, so let's jump in and talk about the Rams and the Seahawks. like talking about the LA teams with you. It was a winnable game for them last week, specifically when Carson Wentz went out of the football game. They were going back and forth. Like, even if Wentz stayed in the game, it still was just going back and forth anyways. It was one of those who was going to have the ball last wins type of deals. And then Jared Goff fumbles the football. I think that, you know, you look at the last couple of weeks, Paul, in the NFC, and all these good teams, they lose a game, but they stop the bleeding the next week. No one's really lost two in a row to fall out of it. You know, like Seattle will lose, and then, you know, but they'll get it back. You know, the Atlanta Falcons lost a close game to the Minnesota Vikings. They responded. They beat the Saints. You know, the Panthers lost to the Saints. They turned around. They beat the Vikings. You know, it's almost like musical chairs here. We play you, you play, and everyone loses a game. Something's got to give. Either Seattle or the Rams are losing 2 weeks in a row right now. And if Seattle win this football game, they already beat the Rams earlier in the year. They own the tiebreaker. I just have a hard time not liking Russell Wilson at 2.5 on his home field in December with a division title at stake against a young football team.
Well, yeah, you could make a case for the Seattle Seahawks, but the problem with playing this game right now as it sits on Thursday morning is you have some major injuries that are undecided. For example, K.J. Wright did not practice this week, and he's a little less heralded than Bobby Wagner, who's their top tackler, and he does a great job on the tight ends. I went Zach Ertz under a couple weeks ago because when Wagner's in the game, he shuts him down. But K.J. Wright is their number two tackler. And if both those guys are out, and then Chancellor's out, Sherman's out, they're not going to be able to stop the Rams. But then on the Rams side, you have Whitworth, the left tackle, who has not practiced. He came over from Cincinnati, and he's the anchor to that offensive line. And the left tackle is the sanctuary for the quarterback because he protects the blind side. And if Whitworth is out, that would be a devastating blow to the Rams. So I would take a step back on this game. If Whitworth plays, if Robert Woods plays, and he looks like he's going to be in back in the lineup this week to join the other two receivers, I think the Rams are going to be dangerous here and they will win the football game.
All right. The other L.A. team, all right, we only got 1 minute left. So I asked Teddy about this game as well. I hate repeating the games, but they are in your backyard. Chargers at Chiefs, I think the wrong team's favored.
Well, I will tell you this. This is not a game I'm going to bet beforehand. I'm going to probably look to get in live because whoever scores first, I think it'll be a back-and-forth game. Take the other side. Grab a few points, maybe 3 points, and you'll have a chance to opt out and get the other side and shoot for a middle. It's not a game that I want to be on and be vested in because it's going to be a close game.
All right, we got to get out of here, Paul, but do you have one game that you like you want to share with everybody?
On the NFL.
Bulls, even Bulls. Have you bet the Bulls, NFL? But we only got like 1 minute here, so throw a pick.
Let me throw a bowl game at you. I really like on Saturday, I think Troy and North Texas goes over the total. Open 60 at 62. Look, Troy has been very lucky. They had a 3-0 turnover advantage against Arkansas State. They allowed Idaho quarterback in a 3-point win. Linehan, his second best passing performance of the year. And as far as North Texas goes, they can't stop anybody. 447 yards on the ground to Florida Atlantic in the game during the year. Not much better was it in the championship game. 534 yards to Army on the ground. Mason Fine, as their quarterback, can pass the ball. I think he'll be successful against that Troy defense. And Troy, definitely successful against North Texas, over 62, looks good.
You can find Paul Bovey at VegasInsider.com. As I stated, you can follow him on Twitter at Paul Bovey, as you see right there on the screen. Paul, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Great to be here, Dave.
There's Paul Bovey. We'll just take a quick break. Joe Lisi joins us. We continue talking some college football.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome in a man that I join every Saturday morning. You can too. Joel Easey and Rich Sermonello from 9 until noon. The program continues right through the playoffs. College football today. I join him at 10:38 and 11:38 a.m. Or is it 11:38:39? Whatever. Either way, man, we've given you guys a ton of winners this year. I look forward to joining the boys on Saturday's bowl season set to begin. But, Joe, before we get to bowl season, Michigan playing in the Outback Bowl. But truth be told, I don't really think it matters whether they win or lose because the Michigan Wolverines have already won by getting Shea Patterson to commit to go to transfer from Ole Miss to Michigan. This is a big get. We've seen the Michigan Wolverines. Harbaugh's done a great job recruiting. He's getting all kinds of, you know, 4- and 5-star guys. But the quarterback has been an issue. I think he was just a little bit too loyal to a fault to Wilton Spate. John O'Korn didn't live up to the hype. Peters is good, but Peters is, you know, was like the 50th guy type of deal. They got Dylan McCaffrey in the wings. And I'm sure he's not pleased by this, but Shea Patterson, big-time quarterback, what can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, he's a quarterback, Gabe. That's a big get for Michigan, and I automatically put them as front-runners for the 2018 Big Ten title, them and Penn State along with Ohio State in the division. I mean, he's a quarterback that can stretch defenses vertically. He has great mobility. He's not like a Lamar Jackson type of athleticism, but he has great pocket presence. Always keeps his eyes down the field and locating his receivers. He can make every throw, and he really makes Michigan a national title contender in 2018.
Yeah, they already have all the other pieces, so now they bring this kid in. To put it into context, this is the best prospect that Jim Harbaugh's ever had at quarterback.
Yeah, he is.
That's bigger than Andrew Luck. And I only say this because Patterson was literally the number one ranked quarterback coming out of high school. Right, in 2000, number one quarterback, 2016. Andrew Luck, so Patterson's actually a 5-star recruit. Andrew Luck was only a 4-star recruit. And I think he was 3.5 with some people, actually. You know, Luck wasn't a blow-away guy. So, hey, if you're a Harbaugh, what a way, because people are starting to, you know, the murmurs are there, obviously, Joe. This is a good way to go into the offseason and also silence the critics, if you're, you know, the Harbaugh critics, that he couldn't get a quarterback.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I really like Michigan in their bowl game against South Carolina. A couple of factors: Kurt Roper got fired as the South Carolina offensive coordinator, and their inability to run in football games. South Carolina, every time they rushed for under 100 yards this year, they were 1-4 and lost those games by 14.3 points per game. They're going up against a dominant defensive front led by Rashawn Gary. I think they dominate South Carolina and can carry that momentum into spring camp when Shea Patterson's there.
We got Boise State and Oregon in the Las Vegas Bowl. We spoke about this game earlier in the week. I still like the Ducks here. You got Mario Cristobal. Players know that he's going to be there. They wanted him to be there. They signed a petition to get him to stay there. They're going to play hard for him. Herbert's back. I think they're going to try to send a message to the country that the Ducks are going to be the real deal next year. You know, they put up 52.1 points per game with Justin Herbert at starting quarterback and only 15 without him. I don't think Boise State are going to be able to keep up. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, we spoke about it the other night. It is a contrast in styles. I think Boise State has to slow down the tempo and get into a lower scoring game with Justin Herbert and the Ducks. This is a team in Boise State that's plus 12 in turnover margin. They do have 30 total sacks. And I think the mobility of their quarterback, Cozart, could be the difference in this ball game. Again, if they fall behind, I think it could be lights out. But I'll take the 7.5-8 points with the Broncos in the Las Vegas Bowl. I think they'll be in striking distance every start of the way.
You're a big Akron Zip fan. You got the gear. Terry Bowden's a friend of the program. You know Coach well, so I know where your heart is in this football game. You know, tough spot for them going into the Boca Raton Bowl. It's interesting. I was wondering, in Lane Kiffin, I read an interview with Kiffin this morning, and he was asked, you know, about this. You know, you guys are a 10-win team. We're going to play in another bowl game. You know, is it a disappointment to be playing here in this, in your home, in, on your home stadium? And he was pretty candid. He basically stated, the fact of the matter is, this is the best-case scenario for us because our fans wouldn't have traveled. He called it out, basically. And he said, now we'll, at least we'll be playing in front of our fans. And I think he was basically stating, yeah, we got 10 wins, but you know it's all about selling tickets, Joe. So you're a 10-win team. Florida Atlantic, they couldn't really be playing in one of these bigger bowl games because they wouldn't sell their allotted tickets.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I get, again, Florida Atlantic is the superior team, and he's done a fantastic job this year. I think, again, it is a contrast in styles. Akron doesn't have an explosive offense, but they do have a mobile quarterback in Cato Nelson that does come from the Boca Raton area, and that team in Akron does have 31 players from the state of Florida, so that could be a factor heading into this ballgame. Akron forces turnovers. They're plus 7 in turnover margin, and more importantly, solid third-down defense, holding opposing offenses to 34% on third-down conversions. Florida Atlantic might win, but I like Akron to keep it within the number against Lane Kiffin and the crew.
And they backdoored against Toledo. Great great knowledge there and insight there that I didn't realize that Nelson's actually from the Boca, Tehran, Boca Raton area. Great, great stuff there, Joe. All right, we got about a minute and a half left. So when we speak next week, this game will probably already be played. Louisiana Tech and SMU, Mustangs laying 5. Chad Morris out, of course, going to Arkansas. Meanwhile, Sonny Dykes takes over for the Mustangs here laying 5. It's rare that the new coach comes in and coaches in a bowl game, but that's what's happening here.
Yeah, very rare. And you look at Louisiana Tech, they're 3-2 on the road this year. Their two losses to UAB, South Carolina, came by a combined total of 2 points overall. Louisiana Tech under Skip Holtz has won their last 3 bowl games. They're plus 7 in turnover margin. Again, contrast in styles. They don't have the same offense as SMU, but if they do have their head coach, I'll take the 5 points with the Bulldogs. Look for them to get the upset over the Mustangs.
Check out Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. Follow him on Twitter, GoForTheTwo. Joe's got bowl picks up and previews, and of course he'll be on live on a million mediums. Ask Alexa, hey Alexa, play Joe Lisi, and she'll do it for you. Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I'll be joining the crew around 10:40 and 11:40 with my best bowl bets of the day. Always a pleasure, Joe.
Love the show, Gabe. Anytime. See you Saturday.
There's Joe Lisi. We'll be speaking with Joe in about less than 48 hours Saturday morning. No sleeping in for me. we're going to come back with our plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
What up, everybody? Let's get to our plays of the day. This game, it's an ugly one, guys, and I might be wearing an Indianapolis Colt football jersey right now, but just too many injuries. Too many injuries for me to pull the trigger on the Colts here. I was considering teasing the Colts up to plus 9.5, and that still might hit. But, you know, the starting secondary's out, linebackers out, linemen out. Everybody's out for the Indianapolis Colts. Short week, playing in the snow. Legs are going to be fatigued. I got to go with the Broncos. Vance Joseph is a bad coach, but he's coaching for his job here. I'm going to take the Broncos. We'll lay the 2.5, and we'll tease the Denver Broncos to the under. That's right. It's not a typo. I said it. Under. We're going to tease this to the under. So we'll lay the 2.5 for the Broncos, and we'll tease the Broncos to the under. Total pass attempts. I think there's going to be a lot of running the football tonight. Let's go under 65.5 pass attempts. Total touchdowns in this game. Under 4.5. Here's a rare prop we don't play often. There's not going to be 5 touchdowns in this game. Long field goal over 46.5. NBA basketball. Pistons get back in the winner's circle tonight. We'll lay the 4 on the road. Moneyline Public Parlay. Give me the Cavaliers to win, the T-Wolves to win, and the Warriors to win. Minus 163, and you're going to win. Santa Clara, USC, over 141, and the Devils and the Habs in the NHL. Let's go under 5.5. Whether or not you're on your own, may the winners be yours.